Evet, iyi ayıp. Ben haber baş.
Gut, gut.
Thank you, her ayıp. Freki. Hadi. Okay. I'm waiting for the agenda to be flighted. I can see that they are busy flighting it. We can start the meeting once it's flighted.
Chairperson, morning.
Good morning, Deputy Minister. How are you?
You look like me in the car today. I'm doing well, Elder Brass.
I'm still in my area of jurisdiction. I'm still challenged. My reception is too bad. Once I'm in Gauteng, I will always be in the car. Only if I'm in Bushbuck that I can be in the house, because the reception of Bushbuck is very good.
Compared to Uru Lake. I think it's Comrade Tsegi that is causing problem there. Is this position?
What is wrong in Katlehong?
I'm saying our leader there in Katlehong should ensure that we have network.
Thank you, must take care of me. Okay, thank you very much. Nosipho, I'm still struggling to place the agenda. Okay, there we are. I have already shown my picture. I think let me put it off. Good morning to everybody. I'm not sure, Nosipho, whether was there a request for us to show our face before we speak. If that's the case, we'll do that later. But where is that agenda now? Okay, here it is. The agenda is in front of us. The meeting is duly opened. I want to welcome everybody into the meeting. I know we are faced with a very big challenge in Hammanskraal. It is only high in Hammanskraal, but I know that there are one or two people who have been found with cholera in Limpopo, though they are saying it is not necessarily from Limpopo. This guy has visited Hammanskraal, they are saying. But is now sick. Unfortunately, in Hammanskraal, we have lost 15 lives. And it has already been, most of the blame is on water and sanitation, be it us at National or in Swane. But the fact of the matter is that the water that we are feeding people in Swane is unacceptable. And I know that there is a debate between ourselves and Swane. With the understanding of what we did and what we're doing, and we will talk to that as a later time. But for now, let's observe a moment of silence in for meditation and of prayer. But in the same moment of silence, in remembrance of the 15 and respect of those 15 families that have lost their families in 20. Thank you very much. The meeting is duly opened. You are all welcome into the meeting. I did ask that I know that the Deputy Minister Mashobo on our behalf was in Hammanskraal. That maybe he must be given a slot at the end of the meeting for him to take us through what is it that we need to prepare to worry ourselves about. in the morning I was on TV. I did commit that we must go there because we are expected to give comments, and we can't give comments from a hearsay point of view. So I've committed the portfolio committee to visit Amman Square tomorrow. And I want to request that we, yes, I know it is short notice. Those of us who are ready must speak to the secretary for us to visit that area, and not before find a way of us visiting that area. And that will be, I've seen those residents are a little bit very aggressive. They were refusing the mayor to go there. We must not appreciate and think that it's a good thing when government is not allowed to talk to its people. It might happen to us maybe when we arrive there, I don't know. But let's go there and see what is happening. We can't run away from our people when the people are in need of us. So I've committed you that we shall visit that area tomorrow. And I'm asking that we all visit those that are available tomorrow. At the time, people will have to talk to us about later during the course of the day. The meeting is really open. Apologies, Nosipo.
Good morning, Chairperson. Nosipo is having network issues right now.
Okay.
Chairperson?
Yes.
I was also experiencing a network problem. I heard you talking about we are visiting. Where are we visiting? Because I was having a network problem. I just went again now. When is the visit? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
No, it's a good thing. Okay, thank you.
Well, who is now acting on behalf of Nosipo?
It's me, Jefferson Silent Sibis.
I was expecting you to talk to the apologies.
She hasn't sent them forward as yet.
Members, are there any one of you who have got apologies that is with yourselves? None. There's no apologies. But myself, I did ask that Nancy must have spoken to you. I don't know whether she did. That you prepare a bit of a briefing to ourselves at the end of the meeting about the situation in Amanska, that when you go there, we are in affair with yourself of what is happening there. But that will happen as item 5 on the agenda.
Chairperson, with apologies, just on the matters of apologies, because Nosipo is not here. On our side, the minister has apologized. They have gone for that engagement in the Kingdom of Lesotho. And is coming back after they've done those, including our DG. I just think that for completeness of apologies, we need to put that. The other matter was communicated late, but something has been prepared that we will share with yourselves so that when you go there, as in terms of oversight and leadership, you are in a better position. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Then we'll have that as item 5 on the agenda. With that in mind, we are on item 4, which is progress report by the Department of Water and Sanitation on action as detailed in permanent turnaround strategy and finance performance and non-financial matters. It will be led by the Deputy Minister Matrobo is here, and I'm sure whether it is you who sent or it is Deputy Minister Shabalala, because I haven't seen whether she's here or not. But any one of you can lead us into the presentation.
I'm here, Chairperson. Good morning. Yes, PM Matrobo is leading us. Thank you.
Okay.
Chairperson, thank you very much, Honorable Your Excellency Comrade Mashiko. our Deputy Minister, Comrade Judy Shabalala, and all honorable members and the team that is here. As I've indicated, our minister will not be able to join us, and equally the DG. We have the leadership of the DG, of the department. I have the DDGs here, and these issues, we are here to account, because at the beginning, Honorable Mashiko, you remember, we were very, very concerned about the liquidity of the department and the manner in which our issues were handled. And we agreed that there has to be a financial turnaround plan of the department, because at a particular point, there were even challenges that it was difficult for you as legislators to say, how do you support a budget of a department like ours that in the eyes of the public was insolvent? Over quite some time, we've been steadfast in the implementation of this plan. In the implementation of the plan at the center was the stabilization of governance. The stabilization of governance was to ensure that the issues of Hollywood and Bollywood, which is acting, was addressed as a matter of agents with your support. And now we know that the entire top management has been stabilized by the position of the DDG infrastructure and taking into account the possibility of reconfiguration, where we will be in a position to probably go to the agent. And now we have a permanent CFO chair, you know that. And Chairperson, at the very same time, this also included the tightening of our systems and improving our audit outcomes. There's been a lot of progress that has been made, though some challenges they remain. But we are very clear with the management of the department that indeed they must ensure that we get a clean audit so that we lead by example. Then there were issues of irregular expenditure, issues of malfeasance and corruption. And for these matters to be condoned, because if you look at the irregular expenditure, it was very exponential, both into accounts. And one of the things that was the prerequisite was to act and act decisively around matters of consequence management. And we have reported to you, we are making strides, though some of the processes a little bit prolonged, but decisive action is being taken, including implementing some of the reports by law enforcement agencies, especially the SIU, including the good news of recuperating some of these contractual defaults, especially in the IT space, the money coming back, that is highly needed for the situation around water in the country. But at the very same time, our results are also indicating that there is prudence around expenditure, because most of the money will have gone back on the basis of procurement and procurement challenges. But at the very same time, the high levels of underspending, and there is progress on that. Without those introductory words, Chair, to say progress has been made, but more still needs to be done. We're on the right track with your support. I'll hand over to the Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Water and Sanitation, my brother Franz Moise, to start with the presentation as leading the team. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the portfolio committee, and good morning to Deputy Minister Mashobo, Chaba, and colleagues. Chairperson, as indicated, we have the top management of the department in this meeting, who will be also assisting as we proceed with the discussions for the day. I'll move straight to the contents Chairperson has requested. We'll be providing a feedback to the portfolio committee on the departmental financial turnaround strategy. The department was also requested to provide feedback on debt owed by municipalities to water boards. We have covered broadly the issue of raw water debt. and also aspects of sustainable water and sanitation infrastructure between the different spheres of government. We can move straight to the introduction. Chairperson, as indicated by the Deputy Minister Masowo, we have developed a financial recovery plan for the department, and it focuses, amongst others, as previously presented to the Portfolio Committee, how we will be improving on service delivery, also dealing with issues of performance and discipline, consequence management in the department, stabilizing the department, but also capacitation and transformation of the work that we are doing. Supply chain management and financial management, Deputy Minister Masowo also indicated, is one focal point of our financial turnaround plans. We are dealing with challenges, systematic challenges that we had experienced before around supply chain and financial management of the department. But also, Chairperson, there is focus on infrastructure maintenance and development, which is done on both the main and the trading account. The stabilization of the department, which includes the leadership, as already indicated, but also bringing the culture of ethical behavior within the organization, staff training and development to make sure that the organization is managed by officials who are capable. Then as we move to the next slide, it was indicated, Chairperson, that in the preceding years, the department was considered, both the water training entity and the vote were considered to be bankrupt. That was due to, amongst others, unfunded commitments, as well as accruals and payables, which led to the department incurring a bank overdraft. There was a point in the department where the department could not pay service providers, and hence this need for the turnaround plans for the department. Then the other point relates to a very poor financial position, also negative audit outcomes, which I'll talk to as we proceed into the next slide. And cases of improper expenditure as well, those contributed largely to the situation that the department faced. So all these resulted with us as a department having to reconsider the work we are doing, our plans, how can we turn around the organization, guided, of course, also by the portfolio committee at that stage, where we're required to present root causes of what led to the situation that we're facing as a department, but also the measures that we're putting in place. We've been working with National Treasury at that stage, but also with the water boards to look at the sectoral approach. Before I go into the specific issues related to this root causes, Chairperson, I'll also provide an overview of the extract, actually, from the Auditor General's report. It was in 2017-18. Both the vote and the trading accounts were issued with qualified audit opinions, and both accounts as well reported overdraft. At one particular year, we had unauthorized expenditure, which was recorded at 933 million. But of concern were the accruals and payables, which totaled 2 billion at that stage. And Auditor General in the report indicated that there was material uncertainty regarding going concern of the department. And similarly, on the water trading entity, there was a qualified audit opinion, and the entity incurred a deficit in that particular year, as included, of 573 million. But the financial year ended 2018, March 2018, and the overdraft at that stage was recorded at 1.4 billion.
Where are you? You are gone. I can't hear you. Are you presenting?
can't also hear him, Chairperson.
Franz, are you still there? We need to be assisted by the other DDGs then, through your chair, because we can't hear Franz now.
Yeah, I'm sure they hear you.
Ntabi saying in the meantime, you can proceed while Joy, you try to get Franz to connect again. The one was the department in but disappeared.
Mr. Striking, the department is striking.
Maybe let's get DDG Rismach to present in the meantime. He will just read while Franz was connecting him.
Yeah. My apologies, Jefferson DM. We lost connectivity.
Oh.
Yeah, but thank you very much.
It's that building of yours that is old in France. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was saying, Chairperson, that the initial recovery plan covers issues around funding, budget management.
Chairperson, through you, can you please go back and start? We could not hear him on the other page.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's aware.
All right. Thank you very much, Chairperson. On this slide, Chair, I was indicating that the history of the challenges that the department faced is well captured in the Auditor General's report for the financial year 2017-18. I was indicating that the vote recorded an overdraft in that particular financial year of 119 with the comparative being 193 million, and also that unauthorized expenditure for that particular year was 933 million. Then accruals and payables, which is one of the areas when the committee started working, this administration raised concerns. They were valued at 2 billion for the vote, but also to indicate that the Auditor General in that particular year raised a concern around going concern. So we were not a going concern based on the report by the Auditor General. There was uncertainty that may cast that doubt. Then also, Chairperson, on the water trading entity of the department, there were a number of issues. One of them was around the deficit that we have recorded, meaning that the revenue that we had and the expenditure exceeded the revenue for that particular year. But also that we have recorded an overdraft of 1.4 billion in that year, with the preceding financial year having recorded 2.1 billion. Also, there were challenges on accruals and payables for the water trading entity, which recorded 1.4 billion. If you add the deficit, reflect on the deficit, also the overdraft, coupled also with the accruals and payables, which could not be funded. Certainly, there was an issue around going concern. Hence, the conclusion of the audit that indicated material uncertainty about our ability to continue as a going concern. But there was also an issue around the fiscal discipline. The budget for that year was only approved later in the year. So those were the concerns that were raised by the auditors. Then we engaged, also guided by the portfolio committee. We also had our executive authority working together with National Treasury to develop a financial recovery plan. So that plan covers funding, budget management issues that we have to make sure that we deal with audit outcomes, and we have managed to develop detailed audit action plans working on both internal audit as well as external audit findings. Our overdraft over the years in the recent past has been positive, and debt collection as well. I will talk to that as reported by the portfolio committee to say what are the strategies that we are implementing to enhance revenue collection in the department, which is required for also projects that you mentioned, including operations and maintenance. Then, amongst others, we had to come up with a plan to indicate how we'll be dealing with accruals and payables. We developed that plan. We have monitored those. We made sure that there are no unfunded commitments in the department as well as the water training entity. We also developed a plan to exit all those irregular contracts that we had with various service providers. Those had to be managed. Some had challenges. We know about, for example, the oil leaks, which had multiple phases. So we managed there to put on ice or actually cancel the phase three of the project, and thereby saving the department a lot of money for those cases. And also, we had to make sure that the work that we are doing is properly planned. There is clear alignment between our strategy department, our annual performance plan, as well as the procurement plan and the project implementation plan. So that alignment we have been working on, we have reported also in the previous quarters progress that we are making, especially on public infrastructure projects, as well as water services. We also had to make sure that we deal with the assets, and there's one question that the portfolio committee asked about the assets. We have to ensure that we comply with the standards, both on the vote, the modified test, and the gap on the trading entity. But all the assets that we are building on behalf of municipalities, they remain on the books of the department until those assets are completed, and then we transfer those to the beneficiary municipalities. The next slide present provides an overview of the improper expenditure that the department has recorded. It's reflecting the comparative years as well as the 22-23, also indicating, Chairperson, that we are now closing the books to submit to Auditor General. So the 22-23 figures, they are almost final figures, but we are still working now to submit to the Auditor General in line with the Public Finance Management Act. Now, in terms of the unauthorized expenditure, these balances are coming from the previous financial years. It was 2016-17. When these expenditures were incurred, and our latest engagement with National Treasury is that they are now providing further information to Parliament through SCOPA for consideration of approval of the unauthorized expenditure. We did also brief SCOPA at the last meeting. Then we also have fruitless and wasteful expenditure. On the water training entity, Chairperson, it has to do mainly with the construction losses, the projects that we are implementing. There are already investigations to determine the root causes of some of these causes that we required in terms of the TFMA to do an assessment and determination as to why these figures are as they are. But most of them have to do with costs that could not be capitalized on projects. And overall, Chairperson, we've been engaging with the SIU as well as the South African Police Service, and disciplinary proceedings are taking place within the department, as well as court proceedings for some of the cases that are currently within the with court. Then, noting that we have to move with speed to deal with these historic balances, we did appoint additional capacity through the service providers to add to the current officials, our internal forensic auditors, investigators. So we have appointed additional capacity through a normal procurement process. And our commitment, which we also made to the portfolio committee, as well as SCOPA, is that by the end of 31st March 2024, we should have concluded on all these cases on the register. I spoke already, Chairperson, on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As indicated, these figures are also preliminary. We are finalizing. I'm sure by the time we come to account to Parliament on the fourth quarter, we would have finalized also our submissions to the Auditor General. On the main account, Chairperson, we have kept the Goods and Wasteful expenditure almost at the same level. Investigations were taking place, some included engagement with, for example, Lepelle, Northern Water, as some of the expenses were coming through implementing agents. We didn't have new cases except for the 303, which relates to fraudulent claims, which were detected as the officials were processing payments, and those cases were reported also to the South African Police Service, and all those the investigations have been concluded. Disciplinary proceedings as well have already started within the department on those affected officials. And then on the water trading entity, as I've indicated, it relates to losses. At the end of the financial year, we have to reconcile and determine the cost that can be assigned to specific projects. You might have, for example, machinery, plant and hire, which is standing idle, not being utilized. So those are the accounting costs that we are currently finalizing the reconciliation. And I hope that by the time we'll be coming to the Portfolio Committee for the fourth quarter reporting, we would have finalized those reconciliations. Some of them, the investigations have been concluded. We are only waiting for special approvals by the accounting officer in terms of condonations and write-offs where the investigations recommend as such. On irregular expenditure, the amounts that we have recorded are high. In total, we have recorded 16 billion. This is coming from the previous financial years. And we did submit to National Treasury, for example, on Gian, which I will talk to, a request for condonation. That was in the early days, as we engaged in Treasury, trying to also be on the same understanding with Treasury around the condonation requirements. But Treasury subsequently provided instruction notes which outlined exactly the specific requirements for them to be able to consider condonations. And I'll talk to those as we proceed into the next slide. So out of the 16 billion, we did submit 138 million now with National Treasury. 8.2 billion was referred back to the department by National Treasury that we should finalize some of the concerns that they've raised, but mainly they have to do with investigations by the police as well as court cases. So there is an expectation that those processes, they should run their course, and then only will National Treasury consider the condonation. Then we have already assigned total amount of 2 billion for investigation, where we have determined and confirmed that there might be risks of fraud there. So we have requested our head of internal audit to look at that. Then we are currently going through the 5.7 billion. We are required in terms of the process to also assess before we can take these cases to the next level. So if there are indications of fraud, criminal activities, then we know that we need to take it to the next level. But some of the cases, it might be a compliance matter that can be dealt with as straightforward that we do a process. However, others were very much careful. You want to make sure that you follow the process as outlined by National Treasury, so that where there are incidents of losses that we have incurred, that those funds can be recouped, as I will demonstrate with the case of SEF in the subsequent slide. These are the cases that we have submitted previously to National Treasury, and we received feedback on those. On the Giani Water Services project, this relates to the historic expenditure when the Nepelle Northern Water was implementing the project, and they have appointed contractors without following normal procurement processes. action was taken, has been taken against the officials at the water board, but also within the department, action was taken. One official action was taken against her, and there is a matter now currently for judicial review as she was not found guilty. But also I must indicate that the Hawks have been engaging the department on this matter, taking statements, requesting further documents. However, the departmental official who was implicated on this procurement was dismissed on other procurement-related charges on the 4th of November 2022. Another matter that we have been handling relates to the upgrading of the Together for the Throne scheme. There are two employees, and one of the implicated employees was charged and found not guilty. This is also a part of the labor court review proceedings, and my colleagues who deal with labor relations are also with us to be able to assist in case the portfolio committee would like to have more information. And then the other one, Chairperson, because of the SIU investigating this matter, there are some issues that were raised. So the department is now reformulating also the charges against the official. Then there's also a matter of non-compliance with procurement processes for the support on the sub-system. The file was had been submitted, is now with our HR to assess the responses that have been provided by the official, and then the normal process will then follow in line with labor relations. Then on all leaks, Chairperson, all leaks is twofold, as I've indicated in the preceding slide, that there's an element of unauthorized expenditure where the main division of the vote was exceeded, and also the vote and what a particular point. This part here relates to the irregular expenditure component of the same project. The departmental investigation was concluded, and there were recommendations. And after the accounting officer, the director general received representations from the alleged offender. There was a decision to say, let's wait also for the SIU investigation, because there were other issues that the investigation actually indicated that they could not conclude on. So there was actually a referral from the investigation itself that the matter should be referred to the SIU. So the official was informed accordingly. The second part of the whole leaks is that we're also waiting for the exit closeout report from EWCTA, which has been implementing the project on behalf of the department. However, there are delays, Chairperson, there because of the challenges that relate to mediation between the EWCTA and the service provider. As indicated earlier on, that the department cancelled phase three of the project. So there were some legal contractual issues there that the EWCTA and the service provider are dealing with. But from the department side, the process was followed in line with the implementing agent agreement to cancel phase three, which was in the, I think it was close to $1 billion, the last phase. It was going to cost close to $1 billion. So that was cancelled. So once that matter has been resolved, we should be able to then finalize together with the SIU process.
Can we switch off that slide, that person?
Okay, thank you. And then on basket eradication project as well, as indicated, it is part of the unauthorized expenditure, which relates to overspending of the main division of the vote. And this part here is also a irregular expenditure component of the budget eradication project. There is an investigation was done, but there were concerns around evidence which was insufficient. So the decision was taken also at a particular point by the accounting officer that hence let's for now not pursue the disciplinary action so that we can finalize all those other issues that are remaining that have been raised that led to this insufficient evidence. But also we are required by National Treasury to provide a report that can prove that we did derive value from the project itself. So this is a key requirement for a condonation, so that if there are any losses on this project, appropriate action must be taken to recover such losses. So that is where we are on the accreditation. And the project is scheduled to be concluded as we have committed to Parliament in this current financial year. The financial advisory services, this had to do, Chairperson, with the payment that was made historically to a service provider, and where it was confirmed that there wasn't really a value for those invoices which were approved at a particular point in time. Action was taken against the officials, and subsequently some of the officials did resign, and one official also took a transfer or new job opportunity at Gauteng Provincial Treasury. This matter is still being pursued from two angles. The labor relations part is the one that is being dealt now with the official, which is in line with the Public Service Act. Our Human Resource Department is constantly working with their counterparts, and the accounting officers being provided with ongoing progress. For the other officials who have left the employer of the state, we also have the matter now with the South African Police Service. Also, we have opened that case. They have been investigating the matter. But I must also confirm that the matter is before court. So the other issues, the hearing for the official that we are referring to as still being in the public service, as indicated, that has been scheduled for the 22nd, 29th May, and also 7 to 9 June. So there's continuous engagement from the side of the department to keep track of where this case is so that it can be brought to finality. Also, we're engaging the police. Then the desalination plant, the one in Richards Bay, we did, Chairperson, conclude the investigations. It went through the process, and then ultimately, hearing was held when one employee was found guilty, also dismissed, and there's one hearing that is pending for one of the officials. And there are other issues that are being dealt with. So the new allegations have been received, and the official was served with the ultram patem letter on the 11th of May 2023. Okay, these are the cases that have indicated, Chairperson, that they are in the process with National Treasury. It was a high amount, but then after referral back to the department, these are the ones that I can provide feedback that when we close the financial year, we're still engaging Treasury. So the one for market education, because it's unauthorized expenditure, it requires a parliament. Treasury doesn't have the delegation, so we are still awaiting that process, and we have provided National Treasury with information that they've requested to enable them to engage on the matter with the Parliament. And these other ones that relate to transfer payments, it's related to a payment that was made to CDBM Water. There has to be a process of obtaining approval from National Treasury at that stage, so it wasn't done. And the bucket eradication as well, this matter is currently in progress. There's also a legal matter on this 20 million is before court as well. And we are working through the state attorney. Another case related to the investigator who was appointed to do investigations on the water board. The process wasn't followed, and that matter is also being handled to ensure that we finalize the condonation. Chairperson, just a trend analysis, as I've indicated, that we are also finalizing the numbers for the 22-23 financial year, we should be able to provide the portfolio committee with the final figures as we come to account to Parliament. But this indicates the trend of the annual movement on this irregular expenditure over the years where it started and the increases. And it also correlates with the opinion that was issued by the auditors in those specific years where they were overdraft. So I think there is a direct correlation between the two, that when all these improper expenditures were at the high peak, equally the trading account in cash overdrafts, there were accruals that could not be paid. So this is just to reflect that a number of historic cases are the ones that are actually giving us challenges. Currently, on the current financial year, the figures on the main account is 1 million. This has to do with an official who was appointed following proper procedures on the human resource side. But HR has finalized all the required condonation processes and the investigation was concluded as well. So by the time we come to report on the fourth quarter, we should be able to provide the latest status on the 2022-23 figures. The next slide, Chairperson, provides an overview as we were analyzing all these cases over the years to say what are the concerns, I mean the deficiencies that we have noted in the procurement processes. So there were a number of deviations. The first one is that if you have issued out specifications to the bidders, when you evaluate those tenders, you are required to evaluate those tenders in accordance with those approved specifications. You can't change scope of those bids just in the middle of the process or that they are approved by officials who are not delegated. So these are historic reasons that we have identified. And the reason for us to also go through this was to make sure that we identify the root causes and also come up with appropriate policies and procedures that will help us to avoid repeat of this. So this continues, one of them has to do with CETA, where CETA processes were not followed, where you are procuring IT-related services. We have improved, Chairperson, we have developed policies and SOPs that have been communicated to the staff, and on an ongoing basis, there's awareness to make sure that officials are aware of consequences, our requirements, what is required from us as officials in terms of the work that you are doing to support the service delivery of the department, but also to reflect on the consequences that would follow non-compliance from those. So that is what we are constantly doing as the department. And we have also put in various preventive measures to ensure that the incidents of this improper expenditure do not occur. But as indicated, Chairperson, some of them do have an element of fraud. And those are at times very complex to detect. So it requires our systems and our officials to be trained such that if a person receives a claim, the officials, even at that lower level, they are able to scrutinize that claim, identify red flags, and also to encourage those officials to promptly report that to senior management to make sure that action is taken immediately. We have indicated, Chairperson, the challenges that we have recorded and also the high amount of improper expenditure, but there's also work that has been done, and that is also reflected on this slide, that since the preceding financial years until now, we managed to obtain condonation to the value of 2.2 billion. And as I've indicated, we are finalizing the 2022 financial year. So the figure, I'm sure as we come to Parliament again, would have changed. But it's just to also indicate that yes, there are challenges, but we are also making progress. And all these cases, we are required, there are requirements that Treasury has set before you can obtain approval for condonation. I've just listed them there, that you must first confirm, and also if there are issues of fraud, corruption, or other criminal conduct, those matters should be reported to the police. And then we also need to have case numbers to prove that we have actually taken that action, and that there is no loss. Once there's a loss that was incurred, and that the value for money was not really achieved, then you need to find ways of recouping those funds. So there won't be any condonation until those. Equally with disciplinary action, that must be taken before any condonation can take place. But we are also required to demonstrate what have we put in place as remedial action to make sure that these circumstances do not return. But then that concludes the first part, and I'll move to the debtors part, the raw water debt. We have engaged together with the portfolio committee, previously briefing the portfolio committee on the measures that we are putting in place to strengthen credit control. We are reflecting the water sector approach, not necessarily the departmental. We work with municipalities as well as the water boards. So we've been working with National Treasury. There are instances where equitable share would be withheld for non-paying municipalities. These municipalities are also required, Chairperson, to make sure that in their budgets, before council approves those budgets, that they do make provision for paying. We have to enter into agreements with them. Yesterday, I was in engagement with a number of CFOs, including Lekwa as well as Mopani, where they were actually moving to have their agreement signed because they have to present those at council. So the IDR intervention is also giving us a positive progress here. Credit control measures, we have standardized that debt recovery processes. We have put together the SOP that we have shared also with some of the provinces. And then there's consistent, this will include consistent enforcement of water limitations or restrictions on non-paying municipalities. Then the issue of legal action, that is the last resort, Chairperson, after we have exhausted all the avenues, including the IGR process. Bulk prepaid meters, the intention to install those by the water boards in municipalities with a poor payment record, but also to share with the committee that our minister has been in the process of consulting with the mayors. There were letters issued to them, written to them, sharing with them the processes that we are engaged in, and also the support that we require from them. So in addition to all these normal credit control measures that we are implementing, legal action, I must emphasize the issue of intergovernmental relations. We do have those processes where we work with COCTA, SALGA, as well as National Treasury. An overview, Chairperson, of where we are, as I've indicated, that our year-end figures, we are still finalizing. The final figures for the end of the financial year will be part of our reporting for the first quarter. But this presents an overview of our trade debtors as the department water trading entity. So we closed preliminarily now at 25 billion or 26 billion. But over the various months, we've been billing as well. So included in the 25 billion is this monthly billing and the recoveries that we managed to make, the collections that we made for the period is 14 billion. So if one compares the monthly billing, the historic balances, we are actually recovering more or less the current account on average. So hence, we are entering this agreement to enable our water users to be able to spread the remaining balances over extended period. It's the same information that is represented graphically. The top part there reflects the 25 billion that I've indicated, and then also the monthly collections there. What have we done, amongst others, in terms of recovery? We have appointed the debt collectors. There's a contract with National Treasury where we participate, and they've been assisting with the recovery of outstanding debtors. Then we also have those SOPs that I spoke to. The incentive scheme that we are sharing with all our water users, including companies, municipalities, water user associations, is currently being implemented, and it's to encourage them to settle the capital balance, and where we have received such funds, we also waive interest as one of the incentives. Water boards debt to the department, this is an indication of those amounts that are owed to the water trading entity, the significant balance being that of Bloom Water. Bloom Water inherited the balance of Citibank. So the Citibank debt that we inherited went to both Bloom Water as well as Mahalis Water. There's a portion, but the significant portion went to Bloom Water. Then also the age analysis is reflected there per water board. In terms of the debt by municipality as well, the debt that is owed to the water board now by the municipalities is showing almost the same trend as that one of the department. For example, on Bloom Water, Bloom Water is reflecting a total of 7 billion. So included in that debt is the amount that has been inherited from Citibank Water. And then in turn, the water board owes the water trading entity. So is that effect that we have previously indicated that the whole value chain is affected if we do not put measures to collect? It doesn't only end up with the water board. It comes to the department, and the department has to pay loans which we have guaranteed for CCPA and all other entities. So it is very important that we continue to implement stringent credit control measures to recover this debt owed to water boards and water trading entities. These are just some of the municipalities that are owing, the top 17 owing the water boards. Again, Bloom Water there, Machabeng, that is one of the inherited accounts that indicated from Citibank. We are working close with the water board. We did put together this establishment support mechanisms to help them, including the waiver of interest. And in the previous financial year as well, we did obtain treasury approval to transfer some funds to both Bloom Water and Mahalis Water as part of the this establishment support package. In addition, Chairperson, we do have debt repayment agreements that we entered into. This is just a synopsis of those that we have. And so far, we have received a total amount of 434 million out of the 2.6 billion. The customers, they cover all the spectrums. You have those that relate to municipalities. You also have companies as well that we have entered into agreement. So we are increasing the list, and we're encouraging also a culture of payment, not only with municipalities, but also with companies and water user associations, especially that Chairperson, these funds are really in need if you look at the challenges of loans and interest that we have to pay to the lenders through TCTA. Any default that we have on those loans is having a rippling effect again on the fiscal. So government really has to do its best. This is what we're trying to do to recover as much as we can. Then there was also a request that we share the sustainable water and sanitation infrastructure between the different spheres of government. The Director General did share this slide, which reflects the key functions of the department, national as well as the local government, as being the department, the bulk water supply and the distribution water services, being now at the bottom of the this slide. Then also our role there is also defined there, that we regulate, we also own and operate So ownership does cut across the different spheres of government. We also work with water user associations. They operate some of the government schemes as well. Some of the schemes that we are still having, we still have to transfer to municipalities. Those require us to ensure that there is a capacity at the level of municipalities to be able to operate and maintain those schemes. And there's also pricing, which is outlined there, that the minister said tariffs in terms of the pricing strategy with the co-approval of the Minister of Finance. The challenges that we have indicated, Deputy Minister Mashobo also spoke about the emerging risk of understanding, which he indicated, of course, that we have good measures, which we'll also present to the committee when accounting for the first quarter, what we've been doing to deal with those. We did present in the preceding quarters. But the slow-moving project implementation by our contractors and monitoring have been a challenge. We've been putting capacity measures that we improve the work that is being done by our implementing agents. We have presented before also through the minister what is being done to actually improve the capacity of our implementing agents, in particular the water boards at governance level. And also operationally, we work together with the CFOs, municipalities as well. It is important because the funds are appropriated to the department. So we cannot separate ourselves from some of those challenges. Of course, there are clear deviations of responsibilities, but there's no dual accountability here. We report as a department on these funds that Parliament has approved. Bucket eradication, we also reported the challenges. We committed to the portfolio committee that those will be concluded in this current financial year. And we have dealt with community unrest as well. It's one of the challenges. We have had ministry at various communities assisting us to deal with some of the issues that require their intervention. And those chairperson have yielded results. We've seen unblocking of those bottlenecks where we had community unrest. But also we have put in programs now to make sure that we sustain those community engagement programs so that we don't have recurrence of the challenges, whether be it allocation of tenders, be it issues of local employment. So we are dealing also with those. Then some of the delays with the appointment of contractors, as I indicated, that we are working very close with the implementing agents, so we are no longer seeing ourselves as being separate. If you have a municipality, you have appointed an implementing agent, I'm required as well to constantly monitor and ensure that the funds that we are giving to that municipality are being used for the intended purpose. The poor performance, we are dealing with these issues through the infrastructure procurement strategy that we have developed, that we are implementing, as well as the policy, so that we don't appoint contractors who are not capable of delivering. But if this happens, we are required to immediately invoke the contract where we are required to recoup some of the monies or have fines against those. So these are some of the mitigating plans. Chairperson, I spoke to some of those that we are working together with those implementing agents, capacitating water services branch with engineers and project managers. That is what we are doing now to make sure that as we collaborate with the municipalities, that we share also lessons learned, we share the capacity that we are having to make sure that this infrastructure that we are building for those communities is built speedily at the right price and also meeting the expectations of those communities. Continuous participation, community engagement is important. Local communities, that is one lesson that we have learned, and there are water sector support units in the department that are also helping on that. We are also working on the revised acceleration plan for bucket eradication, and we should be able to present progress as we come to Parliament again. The department, Chairperson, as I've indicated, we have adopted an integrated approach in all the projects that we are implementing across the various provinces. And also, we have our provincial offices now being capacitated to have direct liaison with Proctor, and also to make sure that they work very close. We don't have that wall between us and the municipalities. And then we're also using the green drop, blue drop, and the no drop instruments to develop intervention support packages for those municipalities. So our focus now is service delivery. As we are saying, we are now maturing on financial management and enhancing our service delivery programs. That is the challenge that we are trying to receive, to deal with. In terms of the numbers, just an overview of the transfers we have made over the years, 10 billion for the 5Bs under a regional bulk infrastructure grant, as well as 19 billion for water services over the years. So a significant amount of money has been transferred to the municipalities, and those measures that we have put in place to make sure that we follow through on the money and be directed by service delivery. We also have those indirect allocations where the department would then build the infrastructure. Those allocations on the Division of Revenue Act are under Schedule 6B for both the RBIC and WISIC. So these are the allocations over the years. Per province, we presented also the budget to the Portfolio Committee in the past weeks. Also, the projects that we have completed is 132.15 million jobs created, benefiting households are also reflected there. This is the historic information on the projects that we have completed since inception. Similarly, with water service infrastructure, these are the projects. And we continue, Chairperson, to move to accelerate service delivery with the budget that you have allocated to the department. So in terms of conclusion, Chairperson, as indicated, our improper expenditure, we are aware that we should prevent this, so we are working very hard to make sure that incidents do not recur and that we clear the backlog of those historic cases, and also exit the contracts that are irregular. As I've indicated, some have to do with implementing agents, be it at Lepelle or Itawusita for all leagues. So we are finalizing those. But most importantly is that we have also put in place stringent cash and banking management controls. So none of the officials are permitted to commit the department without adherence to PFMA and treasury regulations to avoid what we have seen before of our liabilities exceeding our assets. Investigations, we have made progress, and there are detailed reports at lower level that the department will be able to share with the committee. But we also continue, Chairperson, this second last bullet, I mean the bottom second day, is very important, because the reason why we need to be very thorough with complying with the requirements for condonation is that if you don't do it properly, you might end up writing off some of the expenditures that you might think that it was just a compliance issue. But if you subject it to thorough investigation, forensic investigation, you are able to come to appropriate conclusions where forensic investigators can prove that there was actually fraud, there was corruption. And in that case, we are able to recoup such funds. A good example is the one on the subcontract where those thorough investigations were performed, and we managed to recoup those funds, and the remaining a balance, we also have an agreement with the service provider there to pay it over 36 months with interest. So this is not only done on the subcontract. There are other cases that we have managed to recoup money. Similarly, with those claims that I'm saying they are fraudulent, be it an SNT claim, we are required in terms of the Public Finance Management Act to recover those funds. But what is key, Chairperson, is to prevent all these incidents from happening, and that is what the Ministry has been also guiding the department on, that we should deliver our work, our services with due care, that we maintain professionalism throughout. But we're also looking at the entire value chain. So So all the work that we are doing now, supported by the ministry, is across the whole value chain, not only the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson Dear Marshall. Thank you.
Chairperson, that's the end of the presentation.
But before cities, for cities,
I don't know.
Chairperson, we are done on our side. Franz, please remove the slide on the screen.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Close the other gadgets, Tata.
Secretariat, help us with the chair. We can't hear you.
Chairperson, there's no sound coming from your side.
Okay, do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Can I see hands on the platform of those that want to raise their hand? Okay, I don't see hands from my side here. Do you see anybody whose hand is up?
It's Honorable Moshala's hand is up.
Moshala?
And Honorable Teki and Honorable Sishwai.
So I recognize Honorable Mashallah, Honorable Teki and Teki of Teki.
Honorable Teki and Honorable Sishwai.
Okay. Mashallah?
No, thanks so much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. When we started with the presentation, the Deputy Minister, Honorable Mahlova, said to the CFO that they are in the building, that rented building, if I heard very well. So my question, let me start there. When will the department construct its own building rather than...
Don't ask questions on somebody that presented, Mashallah.
That
was not part of the presentation. Don't
so how much does it cost to lease buildings?
No, Mashallah, don't know. That question is not the right question. It was not part of the presentation.
Okay, let me move, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was a bit concerned about the issue of the advisory panel, where they say somebody was involved in the corruption this side and is now working at the Treasury Department in Gauteng Province. So if a person was involved in a corruption and misappropriation of funds, it raises serious ethical and legal concerns. So the public sector have code and conduct, a code of conduct and regulation that govern the hiring and the retention of employees, especially when it comes to issues of corruption. Maybe can they take us through what is happening in this regard? And then can they also assist us with the charges that were transferred to the Gauteng Provincial?
Chairperson, that's the end of the presentation.
Recording in progress.
Cases. Another question, Chairperson. Although we're talking about financial turnaround strategies today based on historical debts, but I don't hear the department talking about governance challenges, which result in financial challenges. The department always provides a literal interpretation of its work. There is no correlation on how and why governance aspect across the valley chain. So, Chairperson, I would like the department to respond on the following question. What are the key governance challenges that affect the provision of water and sanitation services in South Africa? And how have corruption and mismanagement impacted the water and sanitation sector in South Africa? What are the key institutional and regulatory constraints that are affecting the delivery of water and sanitation services in South Africa? How have in the delivery of water and sanitation services in South Africa? And how do issues of accountability and transparency affect the governance of water and sanitation?
Recording in progress.
Report, quarterly report or everything, we always see these condonations of money. Condonation of money is corruption because we are taking money from the taxpayers' money. Can they also please clarify us thoroughly, because in the presentation is not clarified as thoroughly. what is happening with these things of condonation? When are they going to end? Because we can't keep allowing people to do corruption and then we take money from the National Treasury to condone those things of stealing. Thank you.
Mom's life.
Is it not Secretary?
You.
Okay. Morning, Chair, and the honorable members and officials. In appreciating this presentation, although the presentation in the Xhosa language is in Ukuva, the presentation is not explicit. Just giving us the detail of exactly who has done this and that. You see, the danger of us to be in such process as the portfolio committee, the media is going to pick this report and it's going to be explicit in addressing issues that have not been said to us. And it becomes a problem for us. I hear the chairperson was in the TV. The chairperson could be called out of this report to be asked about these contractors that have done that and that and that and that, and these officials that have done this and that. And the chairperson will be numb. He doesn't know. I so wish that there could be another process, even if it's a closed process, I want to call it, that we are taken through on the issues. I will raise some of the issues that I'm not comfortable with in the presentation. Chair, there's an appointment of contractor workers and panel of professionals to augment. I may not have a good understanding of that word in this particular area to augment the investigation that's being done. If I could get clarity, what does that mean? What are they doing? Also, there are new cases that have come to the department. I could not get those new cases. I am clear about our background, historical background, when we arrived in the department in this term, how the department was. Also in appreciation, the work done to date. When we arrived, we were like three kids as this department. Parliament didn't want to listen to us. And no one wants to listen to us. We were stopped not to present the budget. Remember, we were new. We don't know what has happened. But I think we could be stronger today having received this report. Thank you very much from the PM and the Minister and the DG. There's an issue that talks about the budget eradication, and the case was dropped because there is not sufficient evidence. Now, my worry is that what instigated this? You see, because here, surely this has gone to a particular individual who's been alleged. Then the case is dropped. What instigated this? Where does this come from? Because I could give you a little bit of a Konivumbi. The financial advisor who has done some wrongs in the department is transferred to treasurer. What does that mean? Because to me, that is a financial delinquent person with liability, but he's transferred to another department. Can we get clarity why? It's like municipal managers who are doing wrong things in municipalities, and they are taken to other municipalities or national or provincial department as the best man. What does that mean? The issue of desalination, I really don't understand that area. If I could clarify, I don't know what happened there. The in page 17, there is an unethical conduct that have happened there. You see, they could not such an action, and the official behaves the way he has behaved. And there is no consequence in that. Perhaps we need to get clarity what happened then. I hear the turnaround strategy at the M Metro and Chairperson. Something that department is not explicit about. The department seems to be not having a data management of the department, a systematized system that should be developed to execute, supervise the plans and policies, the programs and the practices of the department. There should be a closed area which monitors and is able to see, because all programs come from that system, a centralized place that monitors the data management of the department, supervise the plans, the policies, and it knows what are the programs of this month for this department and that department. And it manages in the system, because you can't chase people by physical and you don't have a systematized system. I am not getting that as an integrated monitoring strategy for the department to protect what has happened, not to happen again. I could not get that, because I see the drips and drops on how the department wants to do it, but you do not have what is a government system that should be departmentalized, centrally, to monitor in the overall and stabilize problems that have happened in the department in terms of the corrective measures. I am not getting that, sir. Anyway, I thank you very much for the presentation.
Turkey. Hey, I love one last too low. Just uh
questions or comment on the following.
Chairperson, the issue of disciplinary hearings that are being reviewed, I think we need to be told exactly what is this that has been reviewed. Because when we take a worker to a disciplinary hearing, you take a worker to that forum with an understanding that you are going to win the case. Mm-hmm. Now, if you presented a weak case or someone you sent to presented a weak case, it's no more that employee's case in my view, but it's now the person that represented you becomes a delinquent. And he or she must be taken to task on bad representation. So I always find it, not in line with the employment regulations, this issue of removal of cases. But what gives me comfort is when the department or management realizes that this representation was done deliberately for the person to win the case by the one that represents the employer. Then I can agree. But during that review, that's where I'm saying, even the person that was representing the employer must be taken to task during the review. So we may not go into details exactly to say what is the contents of this review, but I'm just presenting the normality of such incidents. Then I would request, maybe while I'm going with other questions, just for that page that talks about summary on unauthorized, irregular, and wasteful expenditure. If that presentation can be repeated, just that page, because when I was listening, I found that that page tends to tell everything in relation to what has been presented here. Because from there, you are now specific on each and every case. So if that can be, again, maybe shown on the screen and then just a representation of a few minutes on it. There's an area where I missed, where it says this one needs a parliamentary process. I think that one, Chair, needs ourselves as a committee to stand up on it and prioritize it. I'm not sure if that can be repeated as well. I missed it. So that as a committee, as members of parliament, we take it as our responsibility to lead, as long as we understand what are we leading. The last point, Chair, it shows that this department's challenges are so huge to a point that it will not be completed by this administration. That means this will be transferred to the next administration. Now, the question, which you don't necessarily have to answer, but the question is that, are we confident that those that will be coming in, if it's not the current team, whether they will be able? It's not even a question, it's a worry. I'm afraid that on whether the work that the current team has done, whether it will be continued. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Just one or two comments also from myself before I went over the report for answers. Minister and the team, firstly, we must appreciate the turnaround thus far from where we were in 2019 to date. Big progress, very positive progress is done. We can talk of the department that is existing, of course, with all the challenges that they have. For that, we must thank you, the department, for having practice that particular acumen of wanting to change things. But with that in mind, Chair, my assumption is that there must come a time when you conclude that you are not dealing with an employer-employee relationship or a misconduct of an employee. You are dealing with a political sabotage and a political crime. What Honorable Jack is demanding that it be presented back to me, it is because he does not want to talk to the issue. That paragraph that he's talking about is exactly what it must inform you to conclude that this department up building up to 2019 was in cahoot in collusion of defrauding and sabotaging government or sabotaging itself. Because if you look at what was happening, for instance, you have a 1 million rand budget, you spend a 4 million budget. Where do you get the other 3 million if it does not exist? You spend beyond your budget. When you are supposed to report to your senior about your budget expectation, you don't report, but you overspend, and you change the scope of work in order for it to allow you to, and this is done departmentally. Since 2016 up to 2019, it was done with impunity. Nobody acting against anyone else. And that is why, if you remember in one of the reports that I gave as the chief of the department, was that those that have allowed and made this thing possible to happen, they must answer consequences of this thing. But Deputy Minister Mashabo, I cannot believe that even yourself as executive, you could not see that there are wrongs for 5 years that was happening. But for 5 years, this department was not doing work for and of the people of South Africa. And there was an executive there. There was of course, deliberately, we did not appoint as the CEO, we did not CFO, COOs, we did not appoint the DGs, just to allow this malfunction to happen. Now, and I'm saying that the ministry today of 2019 to today must come to a conclusion where your charges of this misconduct are no longer employee, but they are that of mutiny, sabotage, because this is what it is. How can you overspend or you misuse 9 billion rand, 9 billion, not 9 million, 9 billion rand, and you are being charged as an employee relationship? It is not. You cannot, misappropriate 9 billion rand whilst you are doing work when your budget does not allow you to spend that particular money. So to me, I would want to hear a stronger worded charges rather than, it must no longer be an employee, Honorable Tech is saying, correctly so. Unfortunately, sometimes when we raise this issue, because some of us were involved with labor relations matters, you are being labeled that you are not representing workers. The reality of the matter is that when you go and present a case that is weak, take responsibility. You have signed an agreement that the outcome of the disciplinary hearing must bind on the two parties, unless there are things that are not palatable with the employer-employee relationship. So to me, 9 billion rand cannot be something that somebody has misbehaved in misappropriating that particular money. It's sabotage, it's political, it is criminal. So the charges must change into something else, and I want to hear what you're saying. But then in the recovery plan, Honorable Masobo and the team, I must say that Ekurhuleni, for instance, I want to give Ekurhuleni as examples. They are owing 8 billion rand, they made the arrangement to pay back 4 billion rand. They don't pay that particular money. Ekurhuleni, 289 million, they commit, they don't pay. But then we are owed 225.9 billion rand, but we bill for 14.8. We only recover 13.9. Not bad, but why are we billing less and as we recover less? And there is no consequence management and dealing with those particular issues. And I'm saying consequence because fortunately you are at least bringing 14.3 billion rand back into the system in terms of your arrangement. But we need 25 billion. When are we going to get that 25 billion as the ultimate number of money that we are being owed by other debtors that we have? And I must appreciate the minister for the fact that you have decided to appoint debt collectors. I just don't know how I'm going to pay them. For instance, if you appoint debt collectors, you give them a debt of 25 billion rand, and they recover 13.9 billion. When you pay them, how do you pay them? Or even if when you give them the 14.9 billion that you say is arranged, but they collect 13.9. Now, when you pay them, do you pay them what you have agreed with them, even if they did not collect that which you gave them the mandate to collect, or do you pay appropriately on the basis of the recovery that you have received? And to me, we really need to, Minister, Deputy and Deputy Minister, to change our approach. This behavior of water and sanitation officials is no longer misconduct of employees. It's political sabotage. People who sat at a certain corner and plan together to rob the state. So your charges, to me, it must change into something different. For instance, you even appoint disciplinary hearings among the senior managers who are part of the process, and they go and misrepresent you to lose the case. It is because they have planned together. I want you to change your attitude towards this employee-employee relationship. It is no longer employee-employee relationship. It is political sabotage. It is actual mutiny against the state. That's my point. You will have had members who raised the issues. Please respond to them. Unless there's another hand that I did not see, let me check. Yes. Let's allow Honorable Aljamaa Khanif Hendricks to also make his comment, and then you can respond to the questions we raised. Aljamaa?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. Honorable Chairman, I want the Minister and the Deputy Minister know that Aljamaa shares your sentiments. And I don't want to talk long, but I want to talk symbolically. It is time that the Minister and his Deputy Minister take an AK-47 and start shooting. Because like you said, we are at war, and he is the commander-in-chief as far as water and sanitation is concerned, and he must start shooting. Thank you very much.
Deputy Minister Mashaba and the team.
Thank you, Chair. I think what we'll do, we'll firstly allow the officials to respond on a number of issues we have raised. And ultimately, Deputy Minister Shabalala and myself will conclude. Let me allow the CFO, he will also assign other members like DDG Fundagobi and others to respond on some of the issues raised. CFO, you will allocate.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I'll start with the questions raised by Honorable Mohlala, and then thereafter, as DM has indicated, I will hand over to DPG Mate on local challenges around water services. And then my colleague, Conrad Grief, also in the meeting, he will deal with those labor relations related matters, including the disciplinary hearings review. So as soon as I'm done, then Mate and then Grief. The advisory panel, this is a service provider who was appointed without following normal procurement processes. So the action that was taken against all those officials who were in the employ of the department. One of the officials, the one that the honorable member was inquiring about, who got a new job at the other department, was also part of those who were implicated within the investigation report. So the issue there, the transgression was is twofold. It's, the first part has to do with us not having followed department, not having followed the procurement processes, but also there were challenges around the value of work that was submitted by the service provider. So it was not commensurate with the amount. In actual fact, the amount that was claimed totaled over 60 million. So hence I said that we are still having a court process as well. So it's over 60 million worth of invoices that were submitted. And these other ones, upon detection, they were not paid. So action was definitely taken against all the implicated officials, even those who have left the process through the South African Police Service. Again, on the desalination plant, this had to do with an emergency procurement that was approved at that stage by the accounting officer. But then when it came back from National Treasury, there was a comment that we could have obtained those other quotations or a process, at least which would have helped the department to get some value out of the procurement process. So it was also a procurement issue. So the officials who were indicated on the report are the ones that I said the colleague from our HR office will talk to. The governance challenges across the value chain, yes, there are instabilities. We have reported as well the department around the water board. We also have municipalities that are unstable. All those do affect the work of the department. If you were to appoint a municipality and down the financial year, you have challenges where the governance, whether through the leadership of that institution, that there aren't capable people like the CFO who would be able to run the institution, or a municipal manager. So it does affect decision-making. It does affect the implementation of the programs of the department. So there we do acknowledge, and I think we have provided reports to the portfolio committee on what the department is doing to stabilize the water boards as well, and what we are doing together with our sister departments to make sure that the municipalities are also stable. Because we do work with them either through direct transfers or through indirect transfers. And then the point on condonations that we also provide clarity around this process. It's a process where the relevant authority, it could be the accounting officer, it could be National Treasury on supply chain management related processes, where there is acknowledgement of the irregular expenditure and there is a process to pardon. So it has to do with pardoning that irregular expenditure. But now the process requires us to go through that list that I've indicated on this slide, that first determine what caused this, what is the root cause, we must investigate, and then who is responsible for this transgression, and take action against the responsible official. And then thereafter also, you are required to also assess if there was a loss, there were losses incurred. And if losses were incurred, we are required to also activate recovery processes from those individuals or companies. Some affect pensions of officials, some is companies where then we have to go through various processes. And it takes quite a long process. This links to the question around investigations. Why these investigations are taking long? We have to subject this irregular expenditure to all these formal processes so that those officials or resources that are capable, that are professionals, they can investigate, analyze the particulars of this unauthorized expenditure, irregular, fruitless or wasteful expenditure, and also confirm the facts around the transaction, which will then help us that if there are any allegations of criminal conduct, for example, that we are able to present such evidence to those institutions that are responsible for those investigations. Then the question from Honorable Maswai also about the service provider to augment the capacity is exactly around what I've indicated now, that we do have a unit of certified forensic investigators in the department, but they weren't meant to deal with the volumes that Honorable Chairperson referred to. And also, we are trying to bring additional resources to add to those specialist forensic investigators that we are having in the department so that we can expedite the processes. It deals also with the question from Honorable Motala about the time it takes. So the longer it takes, there are implications as well. So those are the reasons why we really brought in those additional resources. We went through a procurement process. And as I've indicated, that we analyzed these transactions. So there are transactions that we are able to conclude even through our other officials within the internal control unit. But these complex ones, which have very serious red flags of fraud, we then assign them to those specialists that are assisting us. Then the market eradication and service, local challenges on water service, as I said, I will request DDG Mati to talk to those. And then also the issue around the transferring of the officials, I think my colleague is in here on that brief, will talk to that. Data management system, Honorable Supai, is correct. We have a number of systems in the department, and we have put together a request through to CETA. We have done a business case. We should be finalizing that hopefully in this current financial year to deal exactly with what the Honorable Member is indicating, integrating and bringing together these systems, one platform. Currently, we are working on different platforms. Some, as indicated, could be manual. So we really are in agreement, Honorable Swai, and we have put together a submission. It went through to CETA. It came back. I remember last week that we had to also sign off on some of the confirmations around the budget and also to confirm the business case as it was presented to CETA. So we are really working on the data management system. Then the issues of SCOPA, what I was indicating there on SCOPA, Honorable Steki, is that the involvement of Parliament, unauthorized expenditure falls within the relevant authority, in this case will be Parliament, but it's going through a SCOPA. So we did, when we were called by SCOPA, a brief SCOPA on the matter that National Treasury has indicated that the submission is with SCOPA. So it is a SCOPA which will be making a normal process recommendations to either approve that unauthorized or not approve. And if they approve, they approve with funding or without funding. So that was the context of the Parliament involvement on unauthorized expenditure. And then debt recovery processes also, we do note the inputs from the chairperson that the recovery is more or less the same as your current billing. So hence we're saying that we are having these processes where we have brought in also debt collectors. We are dealing with quite a number of the wide range of debtors. The debtors, as I said, their companies, their individuals, irrigation boards. So the commission that is being paid, those agreements, contracts that Treasury signed with the debt collectors, the scales differ, but Honorable Member, Chairperson is correct that the recovery is based, the commission is based on the recovery, and the percentage is stipulated on the contracts that has been signed by the service provider with National Treasury, which we also signed as we were participating on the contract. I will request DDG Mati, if you can please talk to the BevMet as well as the local challenges on hotel services. We did provide feedback to the committee, and then thereafter it will be my colleague Conrad Grief to talk to those specific cases. And if there's anything that we have left on the desalination plant, I saw that my colleague is also in the meeting, DDG for infrastructure, and maybe you can also add the Leonardo Manas. Thank you. Over to you, DDG Mati.
Thank you, CFO, and greetings, Chair, and all members and DMs. The few issues that have been raised that I want to address is basically from Honorable Mohlala. The one issue of the on governance, I think the CFO just touched on that, which basically cuts across the sector. Where we have issues, I think in local government, the information is well documented on how our municipalities are basically battling, and the department has of recent developed a system to intervene and to support specifically in these municipalities. On the issue that the Honorable Mohlala raised on the challenges we're having, whether it be enforcement and compliance, also on the implementation of our project. The issue, Honorable Mohlala, it due to the fact that our municipalities have proven, or the results shows without a doubt, that there are serious capacity problems in our municipalities. And even when directives are given, to be specific, for them to comply with whatever notice, we still wait and are faced with a challenge where they are within their capacity still. On the issue of accountability that the Honorable Mustafa has raised, that basically affects water provision. If you look at slide 80 of what we have provided, what we have presented, it basically shows an integrated roles and functions across the three spheres of government, where we've indicated the role that is played by national government, the role that is played by our water board, and of course to a level where our municipalities also have to play a role. So basically, it shows clear that the issue of water provision doesn't rest only with national, but it cuts across the three spheres of government. Specifically, if you look at the water value chain. But with that said, we understand that even from the national level, besides being the regulator and oversee some of the strategic water provision, we have gone to a level where, as the department, we step closer to municipalities, and that's what there's so much visibility now on the ground, where we are using, even on some interventions and support, our water board to support some municipalities, and also using our own skills and capacity to assist these municipalities, because that structural collapse in terms of efficiency on the ground, it's basically clear and very obvious for us. So that's how we are actually ring-fencing the integration. And Honorable Mishara also made comments on the impact on local government processes to deal with water services provision across the country. Honorable Mishara, we have already made awareness. We are actually aware of such, because if you look at slides 31 and 32, it clearly paints a picture of how aware we are as a department with regard to the challenges that are facing the implementation of these projects, part of which is internal supply chain processes, some of which could be the slow implementation of projects by the appointed contractors. So we are well aware of such challenges. Hence, if you look at slide 33, it's where we are saying we have changed our approach and our focus on how we are going to assist municipalities. And I think one issue which the CFO emphasized is how water services branch is actually getting project managers and engineers with the aim to close that local government gap where water provision and projects are not actually implemented properly. And this talks to the fact that we have done the assessment, and hence the information in slide 33 just gives a summary of how the department is actually ring fencing and ensuring that such challenges that the Honorable Musad has mentioned are basically looked at. On the BEP, the CFO did indicate that we have, with understanding that there have been prior challenges which are well documented, we have a revised acceleration plan that will ensure that the BEP for Free State, to be specific, should be completed in the current financial year. So CFO, those are the few issues that I think are more relevant for me to give a report on. And I think we also appreciate what has been mentioned by the chair on the strides and progress that the department is making on the ground. And I think we do appreciate such comments. Thank you, CFO.
Thank you very much, Conrad. Please.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, DMs, and colleagues. My name is Conrad Griefer. I'm the Chief Director for Human Resource Management, and I'll be, as the CFO indicated, I'll be responding to some of the labor relations issues and disciplinary cases. I think the CFO briefly touched on the issue about the transfer of the employee from this department to the Gauteng Provincial Treasury Department. Just to provide a little bit more information, is in February 2020, the employee who was at that time the Chief Director for Supply Chain Management, or not at that time, but at the time when the allegations took place, was the Chief Director of Supply Chain Management. She was then one of the few employees that were left at the time in February 2020. She was charged with misconduct, as the CFO indicated, contravention of the supply chain management procedures. On the 1st of March, she was transferred from this department to the Provincial Treasury Department. Now, Water and Sanitation Department, as I indicated, served the charges on her in February. The hearing actually took place on the 27th and the 28th of February, but then on the 1st of March, she then assumed duty at Provincial Treasury. Now, in terms of Public Service Act Section 16, Capital B, an employer or a department may transfer charges or disciplinary action to the new employing department. That was duly done. The DGE referred the matter to the head of department for Provincial Treasury, and they then proceeded with the cases. Incidentally, the same prosecutor that represented the Department of Water and Sanitation was then appointed by Provincial Treasury for continuity purposes and the like. That case is still proceeding, Chair. We are on an ongoing basis communicating, and even some of our employees have been testifying in internal audit. Investigators have actually been testifying in the hearing at Provincial Treasury. The last update that we've received is that the hearing is proceeding at the end of this month, I think 27, 28 of May, and then some dates have been, or 28 and 31, to 31 May, and then I know there are 2 days in June as well. So hopefully that long outstanding and hearing can then be concluded. Chair, with regard to the issue about the desalination plant, There were allegations of included or charges included in the employee who was the DDG who was charged and dismissed in November last year. Now, the other employee that is also implicated is still in the department. As we were about to charge the employee, because we were awaiting the presiding officer's finding on the matter of the DDG to look at our prospects, she was found guilty, as I indicated. But as we were about to charge the employee, there were new allegations that arose from other forensic investigations that were done. And as was reported on the 11th of May, that employee was afforded with an intention to discipline letter, an Audi Altrum Partum letter, which he's now been given 7 days to respond to. So as soon as we get that, we will then proceed with the formulation of the old or reformulation of the old charges, but also the new allegations that came to light. Okay, then with regard to the issue that was taken on review and some of the comments that members have been making about losing cases due to weak representation, with the matter that that was ruled against the department, I should mention that the department was actually represented. There was an independent senior counsel, senior advocate that was appointed to preside over the matter. The appointment was done through the Office of the State's Attorney. The department had a junior advocate or junior counsel prosecuting the matter. So on that matter, there wasn't any internal representation, both from an initiator point of view as well as a presiding officer. Gee, then maybe just in conclusion from my side, I also wish to state that from the beginning of last year, January, when the director employee relations or labor relations position was vacant prior to that, we appointed a qualified prosecutor advocate who specializes in labor relations and labor law. And he has been our director of labor relations ever since. And Chair, we do believe with that additional capacity within the labor relations function, that has assisted us, professional knowledge and experience of labor law and disciplinary action, that has actually assisted us in being able to move forward quite well. Thanks, Chair. If there are any other matters that I've missed, I will gladly then go back to them. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Dear Masogo, we are from this side. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I will request DM Chabalala to come, and then I'll make my concluding remarks.
Thank you so much, Deputy Minister Masogo, the members of the Portfolio Committee led by the Chair, Comrade Mashego, and including officials in the meeting. I think for me, there's a number of questions, and I think officials have responded basically. However, there's a question that I think Honorable Mosana did ask of us, specifically on issues of what are the governance challenges that you would have noted that perhaps were also not responding to, but I think that question then was then responded to on trying to stabilize the department, getting rid of issues of the acting positions. But I think there's lots of positive outcomes that we would have seen, including on issues of implementation of measures to eliminate matters of irregular expenditure and improve cash and banking management control. When it comes to the issues of the irregular unauthorized expenditure that Honorable Seki also asked about, and also the declining in incidence of the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we would have noted the achievement there and the progress in the disciplinary investigation matters, including the collaboration with the law enforcement agencies for the recovery of funds. Honorable Mosana also asked questions around what are the issues of provisions of water in terms of institutional regulations on policy specifically. She asked whether what are the really the impediments that we are encountering when it has to do with the issue of implementation of policy. And I think we need to note a point around the policy and impediments is that one, the matters on addressing the prevailing site conditions and the fact that there are lack of pre-existing designs through comprehensive assessment and standardized designs. And this leads to this project delays that we keep on having by the implementation of performance monitoring and evaluation systems that we also would highlight. But you also remember in our budget vote debate, we did speak about the matters of legislation in the National Water Act that we're also bringing, which establishes necessarily a comprehensive framework for sustainable water management. And these are the regulations that we're also bringing, including the taking action to ensure water users comply with the National Water Act. And that is something that we're doing so far, ensuring that the policy is also addressed through and the fact that they will also be progressively implementing the compulsory licensing, which will improve the water use control and allowing for more efficient allocations and freeing up water for the new users. So the amendments that we're looking for to the Water Services Act, that will really assist us to better regulate water services and to enforce compliance with the norms and standards. And this is what we also committed, that this should be done this financial year. And there are proposed amendments, the bill itself to the National Water Act, which will also further facilitate the transformation of water use allocations. So this is where we definitely going to need the assistance of the members of parliament. Just maybe the last point, DM Masobo, on matters of what Honorable Mashego raised when it comes to matters of political sabotages and crime. I think we would have spoken to it, and I think members of parliament need to be assisting us on this matter when we're speaking about the active engagement programs with local communities, really to address community unrest and demands for employment. Because this is what we're also seeing when projects need to be addressed. And I can give a case, an example, that we had a shutdown in Nandoni plant due to community unrest. And community around the plant of Mutoti, Budeli, and Dumasil were protesting for water shortage around the areas, but they're also indicating that they tried to engage the municipality and they didn't get assistance, hence they stopped the plant. And we can't stop the plant. And you look in this matter that the executive mayor and the MMC needed to attend to this matter, but interfering with the plant is also unjustified and it does not even belong to the district. So these are issues that we also, this department is also noting coming across and something that needs to be any assistance when it comes to this matters, because at the end of the day, it then meant that the scheme manager needed to open a case in these instances. So those are the things that we're getting. I will leave other matters, Honorable Masobe, especially on the bucket eradication. Honorable Sikwai did raise those issues, but you will remember our intervention, especially with the Northern Cape and the project that we're trying, led by the minister, to deal with it and come closer to that. Let me leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And thanks to DM Shabala and the team. And thanks for the comments. One of the things that we should all agree, Honorable Mashiko and Honorable Members, is that since this current administration, including yourselves, working together while we are doing your oversight, we must agree that one, the department is in a better position and a better shape so that it can perform its constitutional obligation and by the supported legislation. And you know that working together, we have prioritized address the issues of water services in other areas, but the challenges remain. We have stabilized the department, and nobody can dispute that. And I will not be in a position, Mashiko, to respond for other people, but I can respond what we are doing now. In as much as we must be judged as a successor in law to say, what have we done? On governance, we agree that the administration has been stabilized with very competent people of men and women working very hard. And working very hard under conditions that are very difficult. Local government, irrespective of which party is running local government, they are experiencing a plethora of challenges. Some of them they are exogenous, and some of them they are self-inflicted. And it's not very easy now, like we're dealing with many challenges. Secondly, in the department, honorable members, we must agree that systems and controls and all our processes, they've been improved under the current administration. And that is significant progress. But there's still some areas that the AG has raised, including yourselves, hence the financial turnaround plan that we are religiously implementing, and we are seeing a lot of progress. At our level as the executive, we are holding our administration very accountable. The third issue was the issue of employee relations. The morale in the department when we inherited this department, it was at its lowest ebb. The issues of culture around ethical leadership, morality, including high issues of high performance, and the culture of impunity. We want to report that there is no culture of impunity as we speak. The leadership there knows that they are professionals, they must work hard, they are doing their level best, and there is consequence management. But equally, there are incentives in dealing with this. But around issues of change of culture, for an example, a number of sessions are being done on issues of anti-corruption, all these particular measures, but including staff development, we are doing well, including the reconfiguration of the department. Those are the strides that you could look at. On historical matters, we are aware, we have been consistently reporting to you that all the historical issues, firstly, around the conduct of previous employees. And we have been in a position to ensure that the department follows these processes to the lab. Even in instances where people will jump ship, it has not been the norm in the public service to follow people. We do follow them. There is even a case where even the pension fund is being approached when certain people, they jump ship, but there are matters that the state must have some guarantees of recouping money. That is being implemented. The issue that someone will run to another department while matters are outstanding, we can't stop the movement of people, but we act responsible by advising the new employee. That case in point of this employee that was transferred to the department in housing, very, very clear that we will follow everything. We will not leave any matters unturned. That's how decisive we are. Matters to take long, I'm very pleased because of the experiences you have yourselves in various sectors. We all led the unions. We must always avoid temptations at our levels, both in the executive and in the legislature, to try to define what are these matters of misconduct and how labor relationship must be managed. And we avoid that temptation. We allow the process to run independently soon. with the people that are professionally appointed to handle these issues, because that's what these workers of our country, they fought for, and we don't want to be accused of undermining those advances. But we as the employer, we have a duty to ensure that the people we appoint and they are properly capacitated and they have no conflict of interest, that they handle these matters fairly without any fear of contradiction and prejudice. But it would be very wrong for the employer when you send people to the DC with a predetermined outcome, and we should never actually have any temptation to do that particular aspect. One matter that is not in our hands is the time that is taken for these processes to be concluded. Ordinarily, there is a time frame that is prescribed that the discipline must be expeditious, must be firm. We are unable to meet that time frame because workers, and for this democratic dispensation we chose of constitutionality, they have rights. They have the right to representation. They have a right to do whatever they do, the other points that they do to exercise under those particular processes. But equally, the employer has rights too. And the involvement of those people that must ensure that those rights are implemented without any prejudice. These processes, they take time. But sometimes we know that there is an exploitation by some individuals who are in the legal fraternity by taking longer so that these matters are being delayed. But it does not necessarily mean we are not making progress. Even at our level as a ministry, the minister continues when people have been censured. They always have a right to appeal to the appeal authority, which is the minister. And we receive a lot of them. And with the good quality advisors we have, we apply our minds on how the minister must apply his authority vested in him in terms of the law as an appeal authority. There's an action that is happening. Measures that are within the law enforcement agencies, whether it's the SIU, the DPCI, and so forth, there is a continuous engagement by the Director General with his counterparts to continuously check progress and also agree that we need to be able to support this. And some matters are actually towards a level of prosecution, and we're following that. Therefore, we will not want to create an impression that we are not working on these things. On the financial position of the department, we all have to agree that it has improved. The latest engagement with yourselves in the previous meetings, the level of under-expenditure has significantly been reduced. Inasmuch as the audit has not been completed for the financial year under review, we know that our expenditure is more than 95%. As compared to the previous years. It's not only expenditure, but it's an expenditure that is linked with non-financial performance information. You could see that you don't have a big gap or a variance between non-financial and the expenditure in terms of the outcomes. And we're very satisfied with that. But we are demanding more from France and the entire team. We want a clean audit. We're not satisfied that we still have some matters of emphasis in our books, and these matters must be attended to. Therefore, the turnaround you could see is also attending to some of the historical issues. One of that issue is the issues around the procurement that has been abused by employees, both in our department and in the sector. And you even could see that some of the investigation, they go as far as waterfall with our own support and how our internal audit function and risk management has been doing a lot of these investigations, whether it's Tumgeni, whether it's Tumhlatuze, will never shy away that if there's a matter that is being raised, it can't be put under the carpet. Therefore, procurement is one of the biggest risk areas. And we are put, they are putting the procurement framework now to support the department, including municipalities, because ordinarily on procurement, the two risk capacity, where people think that procurement is a clerical function when it is really technical function, especially in our space that involves to be a built environment. But then the issues of conflict of interest, where sometimes procurement can't proceed on the basis that certain people must get the tent, and therefore denying citizens the right to have access to sanitation, that is decent, but including potable drinking water for human consumption and other activities. That matter has been dealt with. The issue around condonation of irregular expenditure. France has reported condonation has some precondition. One of the preconditions is to determine that indeed there's been consequence management, whether consequence management is satisfactory and rational. And in instances where we've acted, there are certain condonations that have been made so that we can reduce Mashiko what we inherited of more than 9 billion rand in the other account and then more than 4 to 5 billion around account on the other account. And you could see Treasury is working with us. But the unauthorized, in terms of our own laws, is on your purview as the leadership of the parliament or legislature. And we are coming for that particular support on your side. Therefore, even the implementation of major projects, you could see the number of them that are highlighted here, where there was interference, there was malfeasance, and certain elements of corruption, that it is being not left unchallenged. And we are acting on those ones. And we are very confident that even us now towards the end of this administration, we will hand over a department that is being repurposed to achieve the role to lead the sector and achieve the role of supporting our country to achieve the right to access to water and economic benefits and the right to have access to sanitation services. We are very confident that we'll be able to do that. But as we say, our work goes beyond the responsibility of the department, where we lead the sector, and we shall support our municipalities, and we are getting support across all provinces in the current epoch. We are very satisfied that we are working well. But we are having a reliable partner with yourself. Your positive criticism, it urges us to do more. And we can assure that we are ready, we'll be able to move with speed before the sun sets. Thank you.
No, thanks, DMs and the officials. And I want to be provocative on the discussions. In the process moving forward, we should avoid answering to win a debate because we are together. We are members of parliament together. We must own up to our failures and our successes, and we must together pick up the spear and move forward in order to save the community of South Africa. Irrespective of whether we are executive or not executive, when we ask questions, the questions should not necessarily for purposes of winning a debate. It should be on the basis of giving information for us to move forward. I hear you, Honorable Chabalala, when you say we should also take blame for our society who is stopping you. But you are also saying to yourselves, amongst yourselves as executive, both officials and political, when somebody misappropriates 9 billion rand and you charge him as a normal employee-employee relationship, you are undermining the seriousness of the... It's no longer an employee misconduct. To me, it's no longer an employee misconduct. It's a political misconduct. But fine, you have not taken that view. We shouldn't force you to do that. But we are of the view that something stronger must be done in order to circumvent this happening moving forward. Because if we just treat officials that are doing this thing, because it's a pity we must answer this question as politicians. It is officials who are planning to circumvent processes and procedures. It is officials who are not declaring their conflict of interest. It is officials who are deliberately not wanting to pay a service provider unless he or she has done something for that particular official. So it must have bare knuckles. Your knuckles must be bare. It must be hard. We don't get that sense of being hard save for following the process and procedure of employee relationship, which in our view, this practice has gone beyond that point. I'm not sure whether there's anyone who still wants to say something before we move to the next item, which is what we ask Mr. Mashaba to give to us, Honorable Mashaba to give to us as that process forward. I know that Honorable Leon has asked to leave the meeting. He says he has got other commitment. Is there anyone who wants to say anything before we move? Mudala?
Oh, Chairperson, no, thanks so much for the opportunity. I think I'm also having, my question is based on this thing of official this, and we are not talking about politicians. Is there no involvement of politicians in corruptions, or is only the officials that are being held accountable, but politicians are not being held accountable? Look at the issue of a lot of things that happened before. The issue of Mokonyane involvement in corruption and financial malfeasance in the Bele Northern Water. So let's talk about that. What happened to them? I asked about the political interference. That question is not being responded to. Can we please get an answer with regard to that? Because it's not only the politicians that are, the officials that are responsible for all these things. Thank you.
No, I doubt that you will want to get a possible answer for that, Honorable Mkhala. Remember, officials can't stand up here and say, no, Mashiko, who is the chairman of the portfolio committee, is also corrupt. We will be trampling into the ESCOM matter. So if the explanation does not come to that point, we might want to find a way of making follow-up politically. But we can't ask officials to implicate members of parliament. It is going to be wrong. In the absence of another hand, thank you, DMs and your
officials. Yeah, we want to respond to this mess.
Please note that please do.
You know, honorable members, we are not defensive. And probably what we appeal for is that our engagement must remain structured. We have discussed these issues about corruption and what we do. And my suggestion is that the manner we have been able to guide us in the past, call us again on these matters, will come with the SIU, who are our partners. For an example, to have thought that there are politicians that are involved or not, it's a serious allegation. The report on the SIU that they will conclude in chair, they have not come to that particular determination. And you know that there are certain matters that are being being investigated. But as long as that determination has not been arrived at, it will be very, very reasonable that we remain measured as honorable members, not to cast any aspersion like we do in this platform. And it will be irresponsible of us if we don't respond, because in other words, our silence would mean concern. We are very clear with this multi-agency team that we work with. Whenever you call us, we'll be there. It's the same issue, Cherry, that you're indicating. There is no finding that there is an employee that has misappropriated non-billion. It's not there. But there are instances where certain processes were not followed in terms of the law and supply chain. That's why the department has been implementing the recommendation to act, where there was a transgression in terms of our laws and processes. But in instances where there is collusion with an intention to defraud the system for the benefit of someone, that's why these matters are with the law enforcement agencies. But let's not be in a position to make it as a headline that there is an official in our department that has misappropriated 9 billion. There is an irregular expenditure as defined by our laws with different components. But when the portfolio committee wants to discuss in detail the nitty-gritties beyond this particular point, we are at your service. We will come and account and be transparent to yourselves. Ngibonga kakhulu ke Elder Brad.
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much. We should take that challenge, because I'm sure we really do need to go beyond simply being answered on the basis of having been given an answer. We should be in a position to defend what you have heard in the meeting, because you understood what was said. I'm sure we'll do that. For now, I think we have come to the conclusion of the meeting, of the item as presented. Let's get into item 5, which was agreed when we started the meeting. But Baba Mahlobo will take us through a bit of what is really the status of the problem that we have in Hammanskraal.
Your Excellency Chairperson, I will do an oral presentation just briefly, so that when you go on site, you don't have a problem. What we need to indicate is that yourselves as the leadership of the portfolio committee, the last time you received a joint presentation by the Department of Water and Sanitation, the City of Tshwane, and the provincial government of Gauteng, wherein all the things that you have directed that they must be done, they should be done. And Tshwane started to do some of those particular processes and intervene in the area of Rooiwal to deal with those particular issues. We must report that the community of Hammanskraal is receiving water, Your Excellencies, on 3 points. There is on the other side of Hammanskraal where water is coming from, the Mahalis pipeline, from their treatment system. Then there is water that comes from a rainwater. And in the main, the system in Hammanskraal is dependent on the system supplied by Tshwane is called Themba Water Treatment Plant that we have visited. The municipality has been moving in the implementation of the plan, but they had challenges. One of the challenges is on governance politically, the instability that is well renowned, including the instability in the administration. There was partial implementation of the plans and defaulting, and we could not conclude the major issues when you remember where the Department of Water, Human Settlement, we agreed with them, including DPSA, to do an overhaul of their infrastructure to address the capacity issues. Ultimately, they continue to discharge effluent in most from their treatment plants, especially the four main treatment plants. You know that water was not in good quality. Ultimately, last week on Tuesday, the new mayor of Tshwane, after we've taken the previous administration to court to enforce them that we want to intervene because there was a refusal for intervention, the mayor spoke to minister, asked for a meeting on Tuesday. On a Wednesday, the minister, after our budget vote, the mayor was granted. The mayor said he needs to be assisted by national government. In his own assessment, there are capacity challenges and funding challenges related to water and sanitation. Ultimately, the minister agreed with him that the MM and the Director General of the two departments, they will meet, stretch out. The plan that was submitted to yourselves must be reviewed for the current epoch so that we can be able to strengthen it, sign it off as a resolution by the municipality, agreeing that we are taking over in terms of support so that we can be able to mobilize and unlock funding. Unfortunately, on Friday, the incidents were issues of what you call cholera outbreak on the basis of gastrointestinal infections that are led by that cholera bacteria. Many people started to be affected. As a response by government, we decided that as national, there must be a task team, both at a local level and at an administrative level. Yesterday, the team led by Dr. Domo, supported by DM Mashlobo and DM Shabalala, MEC Nkomo Ralihoko, and all the MMCs from Tshwane, and a number of councillors, we met and convened in the hospital. Unfortunately, we learned that the executive mayor, because there were people at the gate, they barricaded there and never allowed the mayor, which is an unfortunate incident that happened, that the mayor was denied the opportunity to join us. But the MMCs on behalf of the municipality led our engagement. There were technical teams on our side, led by the DG of Health, Dr. Telezi, supported by our DDGs, DDG Zwane, DDG Mate, and the provincial head, Mr. Maluleka, and the city manager and others that were there. We then agreed that our immediate task was to deal with the health crisis. In the health crisis, the capacity of the health facilities to be in a position to respond and accept more people, because many people were still coming in terms of having symptoms that required also issues of logistics and medication. That matter was led by the Department of Health, by the MEC, and the Deputy Minister and the DG, attending to those issues. As of yesterday in the afternoon, we can confirm that 15 people have perished or lost their lives due to this outbreak. And in our own assessment, in the main, the outbreak is located to some few areas within Hammanskraal, including the Police Academy, where some of the first cases were noted. But due to mobility of people, like you said, Chair, some of these people were starting to move to other provinces, especially the case of these people who visited that other side of Limpopo, where he came back, he was coming from there. There are also incidents in Free State, but there has not been any conclusion that they are linked to this. But then the NICDI, that Communicable Diseases, that institute, working with the Department of Health, they've decided that the people must be faced the issues of alert and to be vigilant in raising issues. They will deal with that. On our side in water, two matters that were made as decision. an investigation team that must come to the bottom what caused this incident, whether there is any accountability that must be given to someone on the basis of the challenges. That team is led by DTG Zwane, DTG Martin Maluleka. They've brought in a number of scientists to work on these particular issues. And yesterday, a number of samples were taken, especially in the line of Rentwater, Mahalis, the Temba plant, including in those particular communities. And I've spoken to DTG Martin that they will have to deal with some of those issues. Secondly, there was a matter that communities, in the meantime, they must receive water and they must be assured that this water is in good condition. The city of Tshwane has 52 water tankers, and the tankers that were providing water to Hammanskraal, there were 3. They have been increased yesterday to 5. And we have ensured that the water is abstracted in the right areas where we can guarantee the quality. DM Shabalala and myself and MMC Fosi were able to oversee that work, and even today we'll be able to make a follow-up. But as you directed yourselves before, you wanted a long-term solution. That long-term solution is what I've indicated that the minister and the mayor will meet this week to conclude that task. And I will want, just when I'm just concluding, I will allow DTG Martin to say how far are they, because that is a problem. But in our own discussion, Chair, we know now that there are many municipalities who are providing water at this stage, in this particular function. We will be issuing the alert ourselves through the DG or the acting DG for all water services authorities to take the precautionary measures, including citizens, to play their part. One of the matters that we also have decided that the Department of Social Development in the province, the acting minister yesterday, Minister Lindiwe Zulu, who's also the Minister of Social Development, interacted with her counterpart in Gauteng, because in our streams, there is a need for psychosocial support, including humanitarian support for those bereaved families, including those that are being affected. Those are the things that we wanted to indicate to yourselves that we are dealing with those issues. We don't want to preempt, Chair, the issues of the outcome of this investigation. But when you do the isolation, one of the biggest possibilities is that because communities, they continue to use the water in their taps from the Temba Water Treatment Plant, that water, the municipality has given a clear instruction to communities, don't use the water for human consumption. It's not fit for use. You can use it for irrigation, for washing of the clothes. Yesterday, I was speaking to one person who stays in Hammanskraal. There is a possibility that people are ingesting this water. Some of these people there, they are using that water for cooking by boiling it. Some of them, they are using the water for brushing their teeth. Imagine brushing the water with your teeth that you know that it doesn't meet the same standard. The other possibility, Honorable Mashiko and members, there are static tanks there where water is being deposited so that communities, they can go closer to a static tank. The static tank is what we would ordinarily call a Georgia tank, but a Georgia tank, we don't want to use it. It's a brand of a particular company. There might be foreign objects that are being deposited there. That's one thing that the team has looked at, and they must give us the results. The other possibility we have is the standard operating procedures by the people who are tracking the water, that the containers they are using. Yesterday, I was a little bit shocked about water trucks. They are not real water trucks. I'm a lorry, these are just lorries. You buy a small lorry for cotton, and then you buy a small jojo tank, you put it there on top, rather than containerized ones. they might not be actually practicing issues of hygiene proper and ensuring that there's no contamination of that tent. The last possibility, Mashiach, there are certain people who are selling water for free, selling water there, and we must know where do they get that water. Then there's also the issue that because the water that comes from rainwater and the water that is coming from Mahali's water, even if you take it from the pipe, the municipality will not get a revenue because they are providing it as an interim measure. But the municipality must still pay for that water abstracted. We are going to double check that these tankers, are they really still all of them taking water from those abstraction points from Mahalis and Redwood, or they are taking water from other points that are not actually clean? Those are some of the issues. And then the preliminary results, we should be able to receive them today or tomorrow, so that we'll be able, after the minister engages, to publicize them and say what needs to be done. But we are of a firm view that there must be accountability, people must be brought to book about this incident. Chairperson, on the long-term issue, like I said, we can't be accused that we've done nothing. But we know that any intervention has always been viewed with a political lens. There was a time this municipality was put under administration, and they went to court, and the court ruled in favor of that administration at the time that counting provincial government invoking Section 139, they never followed certain processes. The same has happened to us when we wanted to intervene in Section 63. There were blockages, the refusals, until we went to court to enforce it, and after we've done a number of directives. As we are going to conclude with the mayor this week, we shall get this agreement to become a declaratory order of the court, so that one day when you wake up, they've changed again who becomes a mayor or MMCs there, we don't have a problem of people saying we are not binded by the decision of the previous administration, while we know that the practice is that the successor-in-law inherits both assets and liabilities. In 2 to 3 minutes, Rismate indicates on the long-term issue, which is medium-term and long-term, of a complete overhaul of the system, because if we don't attend to that system like you directed us to do, and in supporting that municipality, this situation is going to continue. Martin.
Thank you, DM. I'll just take a few moments. So in extension of what the DM has mentioned on the long term, I think as the honorable members are aware, the department in the past made efforts to work with the City of Tshwane, part of which through the litigation process, and of which we were found having challenges because we couldn't, as the department, fund the City of Tshwane because our grants are not actually designed to fund metros. Therefore, the City of Tshwane had to use their own grants, in this case, the USDG, to at least ring fence and make interventions on areas where we've actually identified as hotspots. Now, that exercise has not actually yielded results to date. Now, what has happened, I'm trying to fast track to where we are now, DM, because you have actually given the genesis of the whole matter. Where we are now, we had a meeting yesterday with the City of Tshwane. Our legal team was there, as well as their legal team and the city manager. The department was myself, Dili Jizwane, and the provincial head and other colleagues. The issues we have raised, we actually touched base on the letter that the executive mayor has written to the minister, citing that they have got serious gaps in their budget facilities, of which they have a shortfall, and they need the department in any way to intervene and to give assistance. Now, the City of Tshwane told us that they're actually more in an advanced stage with getting some funding or loans with DBSA. they were going to have a meeting on Thursday this week to at least finalize the process. They did indicate to us there's some confidence from DBSA to at least assist them with some funding, because they need to overhaul that overall system around the city of Tshwane. They need a tune of at least 68 billion, of which it must come through multiple years of investment, and their USDG and capital expenditure is only sitting at about 2.5 billion. So it will never be enough to overhaul that whole system or the whole infrastructure. So we therefore force them that that meeting can wait until Thursday. It must happen with immediate effect, and it must happen today, so that we get an indication of what level of commitment is DBSA giving them. And DM, we have also made efforts to ensure that as observers, we are part of that engagement. And that meeting has actually been confirmed to be happening today at 2 p.m. Now, the end goal of that meeting is for DBSA to give indicative commitment with timelines on how this whole loan issue is going to be committed. Only then will City of Tshwane be able to give more commitment with specifics, because the reason they said they couldn't adhere to our court orders is because they did not have a proper indicative timeline because of funding issues. Now, we are going to be part of that meeting later, this afternoon, after which we should be able to appraise the minister and the DM on the intervention model. This will address the DM and chair, the whole medium to long-term approach. However, the question came that if DBSA does not necessarily give the positive result which you now expect, what will therefore happen? They did make some commitment that they've done some a budget restructuring, of which we were not happy with, especially on the Rail Val, where from an allocation of 40 million in the current financial year, it was reduced downwards to about 14.8 million due to the internal procurement processes, and they've allocated just as little as 10 million for the next financial year. And these are the issues that we basically discussed with them. But to cut the long story short, after the meeting this afternoon, we should be able to get a clear indication as to how committed are they in preparation to the meeting with the minister on Friday. While the executive mayor indicated that they would in any way approach or accept any assistance that the department can actually give, DM, we have not actually concluded this, but we are talking amongst ourselves, myself and DG Zwane, as well as the PH, to look at the possibility of proposing to City of Tshwane a way through which, through Section 30, we can use the rainwater in some way. But this is not yet final. We are just in the discussion phase, because they've indicated to us, City of Tshwane, that they used to have some internal procurement processes through which they will need some assistance, of which we are actually engaging with them. But this whole package is just now on an overview. We should be able to give a more detailed response to yourself, also extended over to the portfolio committee as and when needed. That is just the feedback I can give for now, DM. Thanks.
Honorable Chair, when the minister is back, we will prepare a detailed presentation, firstly to share with him and all of us as government response. And at the right time, we will be guided by the portfolio committee to come to give the full report. But at this stage, this is what Justice Zwane and Mathe are handling the issue on our side. And our instructions are clear. We want to monitor that water tankers are arriving at people on a daily basis. And Justice will have to give us a report twice a day that no communities have been left behind. But those who are investigating this matter, it's not a matter of taking water samples. We must get to the bottom of this, and the technical teams will have to increase the capacity of some of the scientists that are having the mind of being forensical, because at a particular point, a determination whether will have to be made. of any capability. And that's the brief, and the Deputy Minister Shabalala was there with me, and we are working together. After maybe your response will take, you will be able to help us to respond. Thanks, leadership.
Thank you very much. Deputy Minister Matlaba, remember, we were wanting to go there in the absence of any clear-cut program and knowledge of what is really the big issue. Now, what we have now done, we must never be seen to be overreaching on the work that needs to be done. And also overpopulating the visit there. You have the mayor visiting, you've got the MMC visiting, you've got the councillors visiting, you've got the executive of parliament visiting, you've got the... Now we are overpopulating the structure. What will you advise as a process moving forward? Because I'm sure we all have got information and the gist of what is really the issue there. Is there still a need for the portfolio committee to go, and are we not going to be overpopulating the structure? And let me hear from other members before you can give advice, Honorable Matlaba. But to me, I don't believe we want to go there for political point scoring. We should be going there to intervene as a government. Now, if we're overpopulating the structure and we're overrepresenting parliament there, it might create wrong impression that we're now starting to politic around the death of people. But let me see whether there is then that people want to say something before I want to listen to what you advise about myself. Rebecca, Mshala, Honorable.
Recording in progress.
We know this thing of dilapidated infrastructure is everywhere, but now this one is an emergent issue that it must be attended as soon as possible. Thank you.
You are not answering my question, Memshana. I hear you. I was asking what. Okay, Feki.
No, Mhlomong, let's not ask the department an opinion, Chair. But let's not change your invite that you started with, because this is an emergency. But let's not constrain it to a point whereby if not all of us are not available, then it will mean that it's not a committee. You have invited us. Let's just make arrangements that are possible to be made within the current space and time that we are having, and for us to visit Chairperson, because to ask the department, it's always asking what is it on whether the doctor is sick or not. So Rune,
okay.
If kuena only one, it's okay. If kuena le msala, it's okay. Ariye.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure the two members are saying we still have to go. So, Nancy, are you now in the meeting?
Yes, Chairperson.
We want to go to Amanskraal tomorrow and find out who is available, what time, and so forth. Talk to us about what the time, and we meet at Amanskraal.
Okay, Chairperson.
Okay. So, colleagues, we are duly invited to visit Amanskraal as a committee. Those of you who are available, please talk to Nosipho. Show how to arrive there, and what time are you available to meet at Amanskraal. But I want us to meet just before lunch at Amanskraal, because in the morning some of you might be traveling from all other places. If we can meet at 12, it will be better. No one is responding, so 12 o'clock is agreed.
Excuse me, Chairperson. How about 2 o'clock? Is it too late? I'm just thinking about exactly what...
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay.
It is actually allowing people to travel a little bit safer.
Okay.
Yeah, let's meet at 2. It will be after lunch. Yeah. You know, Sipo, talk to people of Amanskraal. Tell them we will be there by 2. And then you will have arranged with all other members.
No, Sipo must also speak to us, so that we know where to meet, how.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe if a car can be arranged to take us from the airport here, okay, that's fine. Myself and Salah can travel to the airport. And then we move from there.
That's fine. I'm saying that Nosipho must do all those arrangements. I might even join you at the airport. It's fine. We might meet at the airport and we travel with one car. Nosipho will arrange that. Yeah. Okay. The meeting is duly adjourned. Thank you very much. Let's rush to the... mini plenaries.
Long live our Chairperson.
Don't leave.